Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Lipstick on a pig. What is the point of beauty? What is the value of beauty? What is the point of making beauty or caring about beauty or loving beauty in a world of aging and injury, death and disease, floods and fires, warfare, hatred, theft, vandalism, vanity, cynicism, and sorrow? Isn't every effort toward beauty just a vain act of denial, just a pretense? In the end, isn't every glimpse of beauty nothing more than lipstick on a pig? This last Saturday, I attended the funeral of a seminarian. He was a man who had only recently arrived here and begun his studies. He was excited for the opportunity later in life to prepare for the ministry. At the funeral, numerous people commented on his smile in life. His smile had been big and constant and inviting and infectious. A bright smile, a beautiful smile. But on Saturday, loved ones gathered around his mortal remains, an urn of ashes. This last weekend, I opened up Facebook, and half the posts that I came across were of a beautiful white country church in Beecher, Illinois, with a beautiful sanctuary and a beautiful chancel. And above the altar, this beautiful painting, large wall painting of the resurrection of Christ with the terrified soldiers falling to the ground and the angel sitting on the opened tomb. And I think many of you know where this story is going. Facebook posts were of this beautiful church engulfed in fire, black billowing smoke, something about a shorted fuse in the steeple, and the church burned to the ground, just charred wood and ashes. In the prophecies of Isaiah, he foretells a day when the splendor of God's own holy city, Jerusalem, and its temple have been reduced to ashes. And even mighty, proud, beautiful Babylon itself, the queen of the world, with its impressive structures and its vaunted hanging gardens, will be laid low in the dust of history, Isaiah says. And yet, Isaiah still speaks of beauty as something that is real and lasting, something more than pretense or a delusion, something more than lipstick on a pig. Isaiah prophesies the coming of the Lord's Messiah, Jesus Christ. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. In that day, the Lord promises, I will beautify my beautiful house. And peoples from distant places will come with silver and gold to honor the name of our God, because he has made you beautiful. Isaiah chapter 60 closes with an assurance of the certainty of this promise. I am Yahweh. In its time, I will hasten it. And Isaiah 61 continues this promise of beauty as the gift of the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to grant to those who mourn in Zion to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. And Isaiah continues, I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Our God will do this work of beautiful clothing and adornment. The God whom Isaiah saw seated on a throne high and lifted up, the trains of his own royal robes filling the heavenly temple. The God who wraps himself in brilliant splendor with shining light and the stars themselves as his garment. Above him stand the mighty cherubim, themselves wrapped in fire and crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts. Heaven and earth are full of his glory." In his presence, Isaiah found himself thoroughly unclean, utterly ruined, desperately ugly. Without the Messiah's coming, apart from his work, we too have only the garments of despair. We are soiled in sin, stuck in mourning, smeared with ashes, dingy with death. Apart from the Messiah's coming, we would be dressed only in ugly, bedraggled clothing, emblazoned with the words, "All done." Hopeless. Damned. Are the weight and the gloom of these last 2 years really all that different than the thousands of years that came before? We live in a broken world, cursed by God because of our sin. This is the holy working of our God and his judgment. He has banished us from Eden. He has subjected us and the whole creation to futility and decay. We like to dress up. We like to strut with pride, put on lipstick on a pig. But God strips away sooner or later every garment of human making. Ultimately, our greatest efforts and we ourselves are reduced to dust and rot and ashes. Way back at the other end of the book of Isaiah, back in chapter 3, God rebukes the vain attempts of his people to hide their own wretchedness. The Lord said, "Because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and walk about with outstretched necks, glancing wantonly with their eyes, mincing along as they go, tinkling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will strike. In that day the Lord will take away the finery of the anklets, the headbands and the crescents, the pendants, the bracelets and the scarves, the headdresses, the armlets, the sashes, the perfume boxes and the amulets, the signet rings and the nose rings, the festal robes, the mantles, the cloaks and the handbags, the mirrors, the linen garments, the turbans and the veils. Instead of perfume, there will be rottenness. Instead of a belt, a rope. Instead of well-set hair, baldness. Instead of a rich robe, a shirt of sackcloth and branding. Instead of beauty." We like to dress up and strut with pride, lipstick on a pig. But God strips away sooner or later every garment of human making. Yet Isaiah proclaims to us in our text this morning that God will restore beauty once more to his world, to his house, and to his people. God will send his anointed servant to dress us richly once more. He will take in hand cloth and scissors, thread and jewels. He will dress us in his own glory, holiness, righteousness, and strength. He will dress us in joy and in praise. Jesus, the designer. Jesus, our clothier. Jesus, the glorious haberdasher. Jesus, the tailor extraordinaire. Jesus Christ, the anointed of the Lord, came to us not in his proper royal robes of heaven's throne room, those glimpsed by Isaiah in his vision, but dressed as a servant. At his birth, he came to us wrapped only in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. In his earthly ministry, he went about more like Lazarus than the rich man. Our dear Jesus was wrapped not in purple cloth and linen, but in the cries of beggars and lepers and desperate parents. He went about encircled, not with a jeweled crown, but with masses of the hungry, the lost, the hopeless. He was decked out not with a velvet mantle, but with the blood crimson stains of sinners, prostitutes, tax collectors, soldiers, Pharisees, all. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He looked appalling. His appearance was marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of man. Soldiers dressed him in a purple robe, only to beat him and spit on him and mock him. Naked, covered only in streaming blood and dirt and shame, he was lifted up. The royal-robed God of Isaiah's vision, high and lifted up and seated on the throne of heaven, was now lifted up, enthroned in the darkness and nakedness of divine judgment, reigning even there from his cross of love, hanging before God and men, dressed in the shame and ugliness of all humanity, and then for a short time dressed in death itself and its trappings, in a burial cloth, the garments of our grave. Unimaginable. Unthinkable. This was Jesus, the Messiah of God. But indeed, this was Jesus, the Messiah of God, the eternal Son of God, anointed by the Spirit to preach good news, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. And so, the beautiful Son, through the power of an indestructible life, was raised to life again by the beautiful Spirit with whom he was anointed, through the beautiful will of the Father. And from that moment, from that morning, gloom and despair and faintness of spirit are on their way out of God's world. The days of gloom and ugliness are numbered. They are no longer the fashion in the only kingdom that finally matters. For God is restoring beauty to his world. He will beautify his beautiful house. He will beautify you, his people. He makes all things beautiful in his time. In Jesus Christ, this scripture is fulfilled today in your hearing. Today, Jesus Christ comes to you in his word to take from you and to hold for a moment your grimy, gloomy garments and to stand you in front of a three-way mirror to check out your new clothes, to behold the rich and righteous, jeweled and joyous garments which he bestows upon you and will one day clasp about you forever. Today, Christ sends you out with beautiful feet to proclaim the beautiful message of his reign. Today, your Savior God speaks to you of beauty, the unfading beauty of your eternal inheritance in Christ, the true God-worked, God-given, enduring beauty of an eternal city, the heavenly Jerusalem, his beautiful house, the beautiful home of our beautiful God. And in the light of that beauty, his beauty, we can receive and enjoy beauty in this life, not as a tragic pretense, not as illusion or delusion or lipstick on a pig, but as good gifts of our Creator and Redeemer. The beautiful things that we see around us, the beautiful things that we are called and gifted to create ourselves, these are glimpses of beauty, foretastes and foretellings of the beauty that is to come. Arise, shine, redeemed of Christ, for your light has come. The Holy One of Israel has made you beautiful. Amen. We stand for the singing of the Te Deum.